Welcome to another episode of Get the Word, everyone. This one's for all you skins and rooties out there. It's about the origin of the word ska. Ska is a type of music with a very danceable beat. Some of the distinctive elements of the ska rhythm are a walking bass line, an up-tempo speed, and a strong offbeat, which you can hear in the background of this episode today. Let's get a little background first before we try to pinpoint who coined this term. Before we begin our journey, I highly recommend that you head on over to the English Sessions website for the transcript of this episode, where I will be sprinkling in many different video clips as we explore ska today. So where did this music get started, and who were some of the pioneers of the genre? Let's travel back in time to the end of the first half of the 20th century, more specifically to the Caribbean island of Jamaica. At this time, we started to see advancements in radio broadcasting, which pushed American airwaves over to the Caribbean, including to Jamaica. If they knew which frequency to turn their dial to, the people of Jamaica could pick up some of the sounds coming out of American radio stations in places like Miami and New Orleans. They would have been hearing all sorts of sounds at the time, coming into their radios, including bebop, soul, swing, and the American rhythm and blues, including the New Orleans-based Fats Domino, an underrated pioneer of early rock and roll, and an artist that many consider to be an influence on ska, specifically with his release Be My Guest from 1959, which had a very similar offbeat rhythm that would eventually be associated with the ska rhythm. Another major influence was the shuffling rhythm of American pianist Roscoe Gordon from Memphis, Tennessee. So the Jamaicans were hip to these exciting new sounds coming across the water and sunk their teeth in at the time when even parts of the USA were still cut off from these developments in music happening in other parts of their own country. This brought about the age of sound systems in Jamaica. DJs in Jamaica were able to get their hands on American records and set up these sound systems with nothing more than a rudimentary echo chamber, a microphone, turntable, and a bank of speakers. Some of these DJs, such as Prince Buster and Duke Reed, would become major names in ska, as they were shaping what the Jamaican ska sound would become, with the record selections they favored at these early sound systems. It wouldn't be long before Jamaican artists started recording their own unique versions of these rhythms, influenced as well by Caribbean music such as mento, a type of Jamaican dance music popular at the time. One theory of the birth of ska involves Prince Buster and the inaugural recording session for his new record label Wild Bells, a session which was financed by the previously mentioned Duke Reed. In these early recordings, you can certainly hear the distinctive offbeat rhythm of ska, as well as African-influenced Jamaican drumming and chanting. I recommend that everyone go check out O Carolina by the Folks Brothers, a recording which, my research tells me, comes from this influential first recording session that Prince Buster produced, which would have been in 1960. It can't go without mention that this early ska recording also featured Count Ozzie on drums, who was associated with the Rastafarians of Jamaica, who, at the time, were considered to be social outcasts who were often feared and scorned. One source telling the story of these early recordings with the Folks Brothers and Count Ozzie tells us that the song O Carolina was actually released in late 1959, and was a major hit in the dance halls, where the song would play 15 times in a single evening. The radio stations couldn't ignore the momentum of this record, O Carolina, and started transmitting the song to the masses, but with a warning. John Folks of the Folks Brothers, reflecting on the airplay of O Carolina, tells us that it was a very controversial song. He went on to say it was the first song throughout the whole history of Jamaica that gave the Rastafarian movement respectability, and it did it in a subtle way. Subtle because the song had no Rastafarian message, but featured the drums and drumming style associated with Rastafarianism. This controversial movement from the hills on the fringes of Jamaican society. These drums were the symbols of protest and didn't represent colonized Jamaica or its British invaders. The song gave the Rastafarian movement more influence and awareness. The rise of Jamaican ska, with its earliest roots steeped in African-influenced roots music and Rastafarianism, coincided with the celebratory feelings around Jamaica's independence from the UK in 1962 and led to an exciting and energetic time for music in Jamaica. Some of the most notable ska artists that emerged from the first wave of ska in Jamaica include Ernest Ranglin, Byron Lee, and Derek Morgan, all of whom are involved in the several theories of the origin of the term ska. After the break, we'll get into these theories. Stick around. Before the break, I mentioned several names closely tied to the origins of ska. But who was the first person to actually say the word in reference to this emerging sound? The Encyclopedia Britannica tells us that, at the very least, it's an imitative sound, an onomatopoeia, just like last week's word, crow. One of the names I mentioned, Ernest Ranglin, who worked closely with many other ska greats, including Prince Buster and the Skatalites, claims that he invented the, quote, ska chop, which you can hear in Fats Domino's Be My Guest and other American rhythm and blues songs from the 50s, but which is definitely in more of the foreground with ska. One source references Ranglin as saying that the term was coined by musicians to, quote, talk about the scat scratching guitar rhythm. At one of these early influential sessions featuring Ernest Ranglin and his double bassist Cluette Johnson, according to one source, Johnson, borrowing a catchphrase from jazz player Slim Gaylord, told Ranglin to, quote, play like ska. Ranglin denies this, and when asked about it, responded by saying, Clue couldn't tell me what to play. Prince Buster also claims to have coined the term, saying it was an abbreviation of the word scatter. But he may or may not have had a reputation for stealing credit. Going back to the John Folkes interview I referenced earlier, when talking about the sessions that produced O Carolina, as well as the flip side Met a Man, Folkes was adamant in alleging that Prince Buster stole my song. Quote, stole my song, went ahead and published and produced it without honoring the oral agreement he had with me and exploiting it throughout the years without my permission, unquote. Buster's moral framework was perhaps tenuous at best. Just give a listen to his very catchy but rather sexist Ten Commandments from Man to Woman, released in 1967, which I've uploaded on the website. Here's another theory, back to Cluette Johnson, the bass player who recorded with Ranglin and also led his own group, Clue J and his Blues Blasters. Johnson is mentioned in a little anecdote from Lloyd Brevet, a fellow bass player and founding member of the Skatalites. In a 1997 interview, he says to the interviewer, we started to play ska, but we never really name it, but we play ska. Guitar, ska. One guy used to come to the studio and used to say, what up, Skavuvi? That guy was Cluette Johnson, bass player, joking guy. What up, Skavuvi? He came there so regularly and talked Skavuvi that together with the guitar, ska, that named the music ska. Yeah, that is it. Unquote. Jackie Mittu, another member of the Skatalites, insisted, according to Sebastian Clark, who wrote Ja Music, that the word ska didn't come from the musicians in these early sessions, but rather that Byron Lee, who I mentioned before, introduced the word ska. Byron Lee headed the band The Dragonairs, who you can see featured in the 1964 documentary This Is Ska, the entirety of which is part of the show notes today on the English Sessions website. Also featured in that fascinating glimpse into Jamaican ska are legends Jimmy Cliff and Toots and the Maytals, as well as Prince Buster. I must include one more memorable quote from Derek Morgan, who also recorded in 1959 with Duke Reed and was half of the duo Derek and Patsy, alongside Millicent Patsy Todd. Morgan's quote, "Ska started by, well, we are trying to make a rhythm and blues song. We were imitating songs from Louis Jordan, this kind of rhythm that they play. We are imitating Louis Jordan, Smiley Lewis, Professor Longhair, Roscoe Gordon. These were the songs we were trying to make in Jamaica. When we didn't get the real blues sound, we have a guitar strum that give a different type of sound. Guitar and the piano making a ska sound, like ska, ska. That's why we call it ska. The sound of the guitar and the piano, that's why we give it the name ska." Ska would eventually lead to other Jamaican genres like rocksteady and reggae, and would have a major influence on music around the world, including a second wave of ska, two-tone ska, that emerged out of the UK in the late 70s, and a third wave in the 80s that brought us ska bands from every corner of the globe, including the Busters in Germany, Los Fabulosos Cadillacs from Argentina, and the rise of J-ska in Japan. Make sure to head on over to the English Sessions website for the show notes of this episode, where you can find several links to songs I've mentioned in this episode, including the Derek and Patsy recording of Let the Good Times Roll, which is a cover of the fantastic American duo Shirley and Lee, who were also influential in the formation of the ska sound. That sound means we're opening up the fact cabinet. This won't be hard to find ska-related items in my fact cabinet, as I'm personally a pretty big fan. In fact, as a teenager, I was in a ska band called the LeVar Burtones, a fact which probably must have sounded very strange to actress Susan Gibney, Crossing Jordan, Happy Family, We Are Still Here, from whom I briefly took acting lessons in my 20s in Webster, New York. You see, at the time, I thought, for whatever reason, that this nugget of Rochester, New York ska trivia was something that she would find fascinating. She acted with LeVar Burton on Star Trek as Dr. Leah Brahms, and even had an intimate scene with him where she kisses him on the lips. If I remember correctly, I received a slight look of confusion, and that was about it. A lasting reminder for me of how real human people can become larger-than-life pop culture icons to some, like nerdy ska kids, but remain most assuredly real, tangible individuals to others. Shoutouts to Susan Gibney and LeVar Burton, the only person who should be hosting Jeopardy going forward, hands down. Anyway, fact cabinet. A prized possession, an original copy of I Just Can't Stop It, the debut album by English two-tone ska band The Beat, released in 1980 on Go Feet Records. Did you know that this album was released in the US on Sire Records that same year, but under the name The English Beat? In Australia, it was released under the band name The British Beat. You can find all three album covers online. I guess I grew up with the English Beat because I'm not from the UK. Interestingly enough, after The Beat decided to call it quits after three albums, guitarist Dave Wakeling decided to continue touring under The English Beat, playing mostly US clubs, while vocalist Ranking Roger continued to tour as The Beat in Europe. After the breakup of the original lineup of The Beat, members of The Beat joined with Birmingham-based singer Tony Beat, B-E-E-T, and formed The International Beat, which lasted for a few years and into the 90s. I guess at that point they wanted to have all their markets covered with just one band name. Okay, this next item really set me back. It's the 1961 Vauxhall Cresta that is featured in the music video for the classic song Ghost Town by The Specials. You better believe I look stylish riding down the street in this beauty when it runs. Let's see if I can start it up. I can't believe I spent my entire life savings on this pile of junk. Anyway, let's talk about the song Ghost Town for a minute. Ghost Town, which spent 3 weeks at number one and 10 weeks total in the top 40 of the UK singles chart back in 1981, may, at first listen, seem like a song written for Halloween, with its minor key arrangement and eerie organ, not to mention the wailing chorus. But this song wasn't written just to be spooky. It was actually written in response to social issues in the UK at the time, including unemployment, violence, and urban decay. As a response to rising unemployment and frustration around an aggressive economic policy under the helm of Margaret Thatcher, 1981 saw riots and protests all over parts of the UK. Hardest hit by unemployment were people from the African Caribbean community, the same community who brought ska to the UK and helped form the two-tone second wave. Ghost Town features lyrics like these. Government leaving the youth on the shelf. This place is coming like a ghost town. No job to be found in this country. Can't go on no more. The people getting angry. The Specials, who were socially conscious and also had both black and white members, were perfectly positioned to capture the voice of frustration being felt at the time. As one writer put it, for the first time and only time, British pop music appeared to be commenting on the news as it happened, quote unquote. Specials member Jerry Dammers once said in an interview, quote, the country was falling apart. You traveled from town to town, and what was happening was terrible. In Liverpool, all the shops were shuttered up. Everything was closing down. Margaret Thatcher had apparently gone mad. She was closing down all the industries, throwing millions of people on the dole. We could actually see it by touring around. You could see that frustration and anger in the audience. In Glasgow, there were these little old ladies on the streets selling all their household goods, their cups and saucers. It was unbelievable. It was clear that something was very, very wrong. Unquote. Ghost Town would end up being a prescient title for the band. The original group ended up splitting very soon after recording the song. That's all for today's episode. Write into the podcast, getthewordpodcast@gmail.com. Give us your word suggestions, and I'll take them into consideration for the podcast. Please rate and review this podcast anywhere that you can. It's super helpful. Podcast artwork by Bruno Sanchez. You can find a link to his work in the show notes. Music performed by the Monroeville Music Center. Production editing and research performed by me, Mike Butler. Write into the podcast and give us your comments. That email again is getthewordpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Mike signing off. Welcome to the English Sessions. I am your host and English teacher, Mike Butler. This podcast is for English learners who want to learn English from an experienced educator. I share my passion about language and many awesome topics throughout this podcast. We focus on grammar, pronunciation, structure, and try to have some fun, too. There is something for everyone on the English Sessions podcast. Are you a more advanced English learner or a native English speaker? Then you'll enjoy our series called Get the Word. This series is about etymology, the history and origin of words in English. For example, did you know that the word zombie was originally the name of a West African snake god? Join us if you want to improve your English skills. Join us if you are a grammar and etymology nerd like myself. For an archive of resources and much more, go to EnglishSessionsWithMike.com. The English Sessions with Mike Butler, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.